60 miles, 50 questions, 19 drills, 5 days, 1 certificate. Those are my measurable stats from the spring of 2019. That April, another police chaplain and I boldly went where no chaplain has gone before. At least we didn't think they had. We went to police bike school. Some wondered why we were there. Some wondered why anybody was there. Is bike school really a thing? Isn't riding a bike like riding a bike? You never forget how, right? Well, surely you can't fill 5 days teaching grown men and women how to pedal. And they're right. But we filled 5 days learning how to use the bike as a tactical barrier between us and the bad guys. We even learned how to use the bike as a weapon against the bad guys. And how to maneuver through thousands of people at a fair or festival without our feet ever touching the ground. We learned how to go up and down stairs on the bike without losing our balance, and how to go up and down curbs and hills. How to make split-second decisions on the bike without losing our life. And my favorite, we learned how to hook slide on the bike to stop the bad guys and wow the fifth graders. Some of those were the drills we had to pass the class, but I have one more measurable stat from bike school. 7 falls. On the first day, I was the first to fall. We were leaving lunch and my foot got stuck in the pedal retention. I couldn't move, so I toppled over into the mulch. Ooh, boom. And that's when every officer and deputy probably wondered, why is Where's Waldo at bike school? I fell trying to navigate the cones. I fell trying to ride up the stairs. I even lifted the front wheel off the ground so high. I lifted the entire bike and it spit me onto my back onto the pavement as the bike laughed at me, then landed on me. I fell when my front tire bumped up against a wall. How do you do that? I looked over at one of our police officers and I said, I'm done. I can't feel my hip. I've got more scars than the Dead Sea has salt. I was an embarrassment to chaplaincy and to cycling. But I wasn't an embarrassment to the instructors, because falling didn't surprise them. They told us at the beginning of the week there are 2 types of riders. There are those who have fallen and those who will. And they trained us to ask each other, are you okay? And then to laugh at each other. By the time we made it to Friday, I was riding up and down the stairs and around the little cone course without falling. And I graduated from that course as a certified police mountain bike rider because I got up at least one more time than I fell down. Hey, good day to you, Simplify listeners. You are listening to LJ Harry, and you're listening to When I Fall on Simplify. There are 2 types of Christians. Those who listen to Simplify and those who are looking for Simplify. Oh, where did that come from? No, really, there are 2 types of Christians. There are those who have fallen and those who will fall. If you've been following Jesus longer than 5 days, you can testify that even Christians fall. What? But the tragedy is not that Christians fall. It's that some don't get back up. The Word of God serves fair warning. As we walk with God, we will fall. Jude assures us our God is able to keep us from falling, and he sure is. But God knows our frame. He knows our flesh. He knows our weakness. He knows our faults, our flaws, and he knows. So the same Bible that tells us he can keep us from falling also tells us in Proverbs 24, a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he gets back up. The longer we walk with Jesus, the more time we spend with him, the more power we have to walk without falling. And after a while, we realize, man, I haven't fallen in a while. That temptation hasn't tripped us up in a long time. Used to always get us, but not this time. And you can shout with the prophet Micah, rejoice not against me, O mine enemies, for when I fall, I shall arise. It's a blast getting to watch people take their first steps in their walk with God. To watch the tears flow as people repent of their sins and God cleanses them and gives them a brand new beginning. I love praying with people as they are baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sins, and God turns their lives around and being there when God fills them with his precious Holy Spirit. I love to hear brand new Christians ask if we have any more Bibles or devotionals or Bible reading charts so they can feed their own soul between Sundays. I love to watch the chapel fill up with people on Wednesdays as Christians put one foot in front of the other in their discipleship and walk with God as they study his word. I love to watch the altars fill up during worship and preaching as people walk closer to God. I love to sit in the office as teary-eyed students tell me God is calling them to give their lives to the ministry. But I also share in the heartbreak as Christians who stood so tall and walked so sure fall. And when you fall, you're going to wonder if you should just save face and stay down. It would have been much easier for me to just ride the bike from the dining hall to the parking lot, strap it on the car, and drive away that Monday and forget I ever wanted to ride alongside our bike patrol. Chaplains don't belong in bike school. What was I thinking? I'm going to Wendy's and call it a day. The officers might remember me, but probably not. Just let's end this before it gets real embarrassing. And some of you feel the same way. You think, what am I doing here? A meth addict can't be a Christian. A heroin addict doesn't listen to Jesus podcasts. But that's exactly who should be listening to Jesus podcasts, because only Jesus is able to set you free. Most of our falls won't be severe. We may lose our temper when we get cut off in traffic after we thought the Holy Spirit took that temper away. Or maybe you promised God, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to pray every day this year. And you walked for a while, but February came. And your alarm clock didn't ring or your phone did, and you rushed out the door to work. And after work, friends called, dinner called, housework called, and you laid your head on your pillow at night. And your last conscious thought was, oh no, I didn't pray. And I promised God I would every day. Or maybe it's a more severe fall. Maybe the doctor offered you some pain pills after the accident and you took them and now you're hooked and nobody knows, but you know, and you know God knows. And you want to stand tall with your hands high, but you can't. Or maybe in a moment of weakness, your mind said no, your heart said yes, and you crossed some boundaries you built. And now you're wondering how you're going to restore your relationship with God and with your family. And rather than stand tall, you find yourself face down, wondering, how did you, a spirit-filled, spirit-led follower of Jesus, fall so hard and so fast? Proverbs 24 is right. Even a righteous man falls 7 times. But that's not a license to fall. It's not God saying, go big or go home. It is an outstretched, nail-scarred hand to help us up after we fall. Before you wear condemnation around your neck like a millstone, just know whether it's a knee scrape or it's a header. The tragedy is not that Christians fall, it's that some don't get back up after they fall. A few summers ago, during junior high camp, somebody got the bright idea, hey, let's play a supervisors versus campers dodgeball game. Well, that sounds like fun, right? Give the campers a chance to peg the supervisors for making them go to sleep, and give the supervisors a chance to peg the kids for not letting them go to sleep. But we were outnumbered. 20 adults versus 100 energetic, fast, agile, junior high-aged, out-for-blood campers. And I remember standing there in the grass thinking, what are we doing? The rules were the same for both sides. If you catch the ball, the other person's out. If you throw the ball and hit them, the other person's out. Somebody hits you with a ball, you're out. Somebody catches the ball you threw, you're out. But we had one slight advantage. We had a doctor on our side. This was Dr. Dodgeball. When the campers were out, they were out for good. But when we were out, we had to drop to our knees and wait for the doctor to tag us and get us back in the game. Our friend Ben was the doctor, and his stethoscope was a styrofoam sword. When one of us grown-ups got out, Ben weaved his way through flying dodgeballs behind a human shield. He tagged us and restored us to stay in the game. If the campers got him out, he was out for good, and there was no second chance. So we protected him with our lives. I got out 3 times. 3 times against junior high campers. I threw the ball as hard as I possibly could, and a kid 1/3 my size who can't even tie his shoes caught it. But each time I got out, I dropped to my knees, and each time the good doctor came around and tagged me and restored me back to the battle. And would you believe it? By the end of that match, although we were outmatched 5-1, 20 supervisors won over 100 campers simply because we could get back up. What determines whether or not we win our battles and whether we win our war, whether or not we make it in the rapture? It's not about how many times we fall. It's about how many times we get back up. The writer of Proverbs was right. Even a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up. Would you make Micah's song your song and sing it all day long? And if the Lord doesn't come back today, sing it tomorrow. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemies, for when I fall, I shall arise. Now let's pray. Maybe you've fallen. Maybe there are some things in your life you regret, but you cannot change. Let's ask the Lord right now that he would help you to get back up, to get on your knees, repent, and ask him to forgive you and give you the strength and the grace to get back up. Lord Jesus, I love you so much. You are great and greatly to be praised. There is nobody above you, nobody like you. We call on you today, Lord, because we know you're the only one with the strength and the grace to get us back up after we fall. I pray for me. God, when I fall, when I make mistakes, when I think I had it, but I don't, please forgive me. Help me back up, Lord. Help me to be more like you, less like me, less like the world, more like you. I pray for all those who are listening who have fallen, maybe into addiction, maybe into gross sin. Please help them back up. I pray you would reach out your nail-scarred hand and help them to stand again. Everyone who's listening, I pray, God, give us the grace and the courage to get back up after we fall. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for tuning in to Simplify. So glad you are part of this listening audience. I have been so excited to hit 100 episodes that I did not realize that we actually are on our 102nd episode because I accidentally numbered two episodes, episode number 62. So for those who are wondering, if you're looking on the episode count on your podcast app, you're probably like, this guy can't count. And you know what? You're right. However, this is our 102nd episode, and thankfully, we also crested our 50,000 download mark. So thank you so much, everybody who's a part of this podcast, listening, family, and for making this priority. Please share this with somebody else and let them know about the podcast. If you are curious how this even launched, it launched a couple years ago, maybe three, with the book I wrote called Simplify, which is a 52-week devotional, which, just in case you're curious, some have wondered, it is probably going to come out on Audible at some point. So that is exciting. And you can purchase a copy of Simplify at PentecostalPublishing.com. You could also purchase it on Amazon. And I talked with my publisher this last week, and he told me I could go ahead and break the news. So here goes. My second book is in the works. It's at the publisher now being edited and will soon be released. There's a pre-release date on May 15th, pre-sale date. So if you would like a copy of the second book, it is called 10 Words, and it is a practical look at the 10 Commandments. If you want to know what the Bible has to say about the 10 and how we can obey them and honor God with our lives, I will share that in that book. So you can pick that up also, PentecostalPublishing.com or Amazon. It'll be available starting May 15th for pre-sale. So I'm super excited about that. Please do share this podcast with others. Let them know about Simplify and let them know what God is doing in your life as a result of this podcast. Next week is Palm Sunday, the Sunday we celebrate the day Jesus came riding into Jerusalem to lay down his life for ours. And I want to share with you a devotion called This Is What I Have Sunday. That's going to be next week. And I'm looking forward to that, and always look forward to walking with Jesus as we walk through Simplify.